Simple game. Four players. Exfil opens the pocket. CyberOps lifts the wallet.
Bank.
IMF mainframe.
Where exactly is?
In Langley.
In Langley? The one in Virginia, Langley.
Inside CIA headquarters at Langley. Is this serious?
Always.
If we're going to Virginia, why don't we drop by Fort Knox? I can fly a helicopter right in through the lobby and set it down inside the vault. And there's no clothes I can buy, many feel like myself, she said. So I put on clothes to make me look like someone else instead.
And welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
And as usual, I guess we're here and we have little plan, but we're still going to try and do something.
Didn't we have a plan? We're going, like, we're talking about a movie. And then, like,
yes, we are talking about a movie.
And then we leave, right?
That's usually the plan.
Yeah, okay, right.
That's usually the plan. Okay. Yeah. But this week, I kind of wanted to talk about this film. It's entitled No.
Sí, ¿no?
Creo que esto. Esto no vende.
El presidente va a ganar igual, dejémonos de hueva.
¿Dónde están los presos políticos?
Basta, hay que ser más creativos, carajo. Hay que darle la vuelta a esto.
A mí la democracia me parece entretenida.
Producto alegre, si tú lo planteas así.
Estamos utilizando un lenguaje publicitario, pero armando un concepto político detrás.
Porque sin la dictadura.
It is a Chilean film from last year. It got released in the States this year. It's directed by Pablo Larrion. I think I might be ruining that name, but I hope someone will correct me. Starring Douglas's favorite, Gael García Bernal.
No, his name's Cristiano Ronaldo. I saw him in that Nike commercial. I did.
I adore that Nike commercial.
It's terrific.
And it's about the No campaign in 1988, where the leader, leader of Chile, Augusto Pinochet, decided, instead of having an election to decide whether party A, B, C, or D should be the next leader, he would instead have a vote as to whether there should be another leader in the first place. And in order to be a bit more, like, objective, he decided to make sure that there were at least 15 minutes available for advertising for a month on television for two campaigns, one for yes and one for no. You can say that's quite wonderful of him that he actually had a no campaign. And this movie is about the character who ended up... The guy who ended up managing the campaign for no, played by Gael García Bernal. I picked this movie, but I'm very curious as to where you guys stand on it immediately. And I mean, I think Douglas is the first one I want to go to, because I'm not quite sure how strongly his bias would play into this one.
Okay. So I just want to say it out front, and I know Damon is going to hate me, because we're usually in agreement on movies like this. But I like this movie, but I know I like this movie for the wrong reasons. Right?
What, Douglas? That's never happened before.
No, first off, as you said, thank you for saying it, Andrew. I have a bit of a bias towards Gael. I really do love that guy. Ever since I saw him in Ito Mama Tambien, I've been in love with him. That said, what really got me with this movie had nothing to do with him per se. And it actually had a lot to do with what Damian said before we brought you on the line. as soon as he came in here and was bashing this film. And he said it perfectly. He said that this movie is a movie about a revolution, just without the revolution bits. And funnily enough, that's why I like this movie. Why I like this movie is because about 80% of it is watching, I don't know whether it is actual footage or recreated footage of the No campaign. And it is, I would say, extremely reminiscent, or at least a major portion of it is reminiscent of ad campaigns from in the 90s and the late 80s when I was growing up. And so something came to my mind when I was watching it, as watching this movie, and I was like, this feels like a Mentos ad. You know, it's
like so by the way, Douglas, yeah. Just to let you know, the commercials we actually saw, whenever you actually saw them on the television, those were the real ones that aired in 88.
Okay, great. So I mean, I watched the dancers and,
right.
You know.
It felt like
I was being sold that Mentos is the fresh maker, you know, and
and strepsils.
And so, you know, I got a little bit of nostalgia going there. I don't even want to say it tried. It barely touched on the real parts of this revolution. There were a couple of scenes where people felt that perhaps they were in somewhat eventually imminent danger. It was never, there was never danger right there. There's a man about to hit me over the head with a baton, or a man with a gun to my face telling me that I need to stop this. But there were a few times where it was implied that perhaps, you know, these guys that were on the No campaign, maybe people didn't like them. Maybe people wanted to do away with them. But that was all it was, a perhaps. However, the perhaps thing was done pretty well. I don't think, and Damien might try, but I don't think anybody can really argue as to the technical soundness of anything in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting, speaking of the technicals, was the fact that all of this movie was, this movie was dirty. It was filmed in a style that made it look like all of these ads from the 80s. It made it look like what a TV show or what
like
a movie would have
tape.
Looked like.
It felt like it came,
exactly,
coming
right.
off like a VHS tape.
Yeah, yeah. So that, while at first I was like, I don't know about this, you know, but it did kind of add to that that nostalgic feel. So that was, again, a positive for me in this movie. And I guess, truth be told, anything with Superman in it, it gets an okay from me.
I'm sorry,
right?
With who?
With Superman.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Can I say that this is second? This is the second movie I've seen this week with Superman in it. It's crazy.
Was the first movie Superman?
Superman, I guess.
No, I didn't watch Superman. I saw this movie called Death Trap with Michael Caine and Christopher Reeve.
Why would you do that?
Well, no, what are you talking about? That movie is awesome. Before I say that, is this a movie about the play?
About what? Sorry.
About the play. With
yes, it is
John
about
Ritter
the play
as well. Yeah, this movie.
No. There's no John Ritter. No, sorry. I think we might be talking about different movies. It's about a playwright who makes this big plot to murder off his wife because he has no hits. He's been losing money forever.
Oh, it's not a
murder
comedy,
off
then.
His. It's like a thriller comedy. It's sort of a comedy. I laughed.
If it was done better, it would have been funny.
But Ritter is not in this movie, right? That's what
no,
saying?
He's not.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't know who that is.
Because Ritter is in a movie I'm thinking about, and it's a comedy about a play that gets really big, and I think it goes across. No? Okay.
Not the movie I'm thinking
about. Okay, it's very much slapstick. But okay, fair enough. Then, in that case, Andrew, I hate that movie. What's wrong with you? Because I think Michael Caine is in that other movie too as a director.
Michael Caine.
But so, all in all, Andrew, I think I enjoyed this movie. Again, it makes me feel sad. It makes me feel like I'm raping Chileans in the middle of the street because it's it's funny because the way this movie is set up, it actually almost, it's almost a bit self-referential at first, where, you know, in the first, I'd say 15 minutes, you're not sure, is this movie going to go for the classic, this is a revolutionary movie that Damien wanted, or is it going to go for something a little bit different, right? And in the beginning of the movie, there's this huge, or not huge, but this big meeting between all of the opposition, all of the no, right? And they asked Gael to come in to look at what they have so far and, you know, say, does it sound good? Does it look good? What can be done to make it a little bit better? And they show him a couple of tapes and, you know, it, the tapes are definitely what you would have expected from a movie like this and from an ad campaign, based on the fact that they're saying, hey, you realize what this guy's done, yeah, right? Why would you vote yes, essentially? And they show you, you know, gruesome pictures and horrible facts and stuff like that. And the tape ends and Gael says something along the lines of, so is that it?
Yeah.
Is that all that you have for me? And they're like, yeah, what else do you need? Yeah, I mean, it shows all the good stuff.
You have any more?
Yeah. And he's like, no, this doesn't sell.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you have to realize.
Yeah, this is too depressing.
Yeah, much too depressing. Let's just make it happy and sing and dance and look to the future. And that's what this movie was. This movie, at that point, decided to take that left turn, so to speak, into the happy and the actual campaign itself, rather than the people behind the campaign and what was actually done in order to get that campaign through. And that's just a choice that the filmmakers made. And I don't know if it's a good one or a bad one, but at least for me, on the entertainment basis, I was entertained. I enjoyed this movie. And that's really all that you need sometimes.
Can I tell you that I think is the defining moment of this film, and I think it's like the number one reason why I completely adore this movie, because it decided to remind us that not only is, while they're kind of doing this thing where you can't have that obvious campaign of saying, look, just in case you guys don't remember, he did all of these horrible things to us, why would you vote for that again? Because, and then Gael decides to go, yeah, we all know that, and that's not going to change anyone's mind. So we have to change into a completely different language. And they kind of hint at this idea of an entire language which has been created through this visual medium of advertising, and through we can even kind of push that into the language that film has created itself over the years, because you see certain things within these ads that it just kind of clicks when you watch it. I mean, I found it funny seeing, like, when the movie opens, actual opening scene where you see Gael making a pitch for, like, a proper advertisement campaign, which is, like, commercial and shit, and he kind of has his shot. He has his shot, yeah, for free soda. He has his shot of a mime in the ad. And you see that same mime in the first test run of the no ad.
Yeah.
And it just kind of blew my mind to the point where when they even should get to that first proper no ad, you still see a shot of another mime. Where I'm curious as to what his obsession with mimes was in the first place.
So was the client. I believe his exact words were, why the fuck is a mime in my commercial?
I think that might be specific to Chile, maybe. I guess... Maybe mimes were super awesome in the 80s, I don't know.
And I mean, you see, numerous times when they're going throughout the no campaign, that they kind of refuse to admit, they refuse to ground themselves in any form of real logic, because there's a point when it comes to expressing their idea, because there's a point where he's filming this ad campaign and the guy argues with him about like a basket of bread that they're shooting.
So Chileans don't have baguettes.
and he's like, look, that doesn't matter. Cool. It's a pretty picture. It'll work, right? And then that kind of just reinforces all of these things that I've kind of come to love about movies like this. Otherwise, what I really adored. I mean, Douglas mentioned the visual look of this movie. Like, it looked like it, I kind of said to myself that it felt like someone shot this on a mini DV camera. And that is like a horrible thing to say, because those cameras today, when you look at what they shot, it looks horrendous. But it looks, it's completely intentional in how it's done it to kind of make the entire movie feel like that ad.
Can
to
I
make
say
it
one
feel
thing,
like
by
this.
The way?
Sure.
I just want to say that, as you said before, I'm a big Gael fan, and I knew when this movie came out. And as soon as I was able to get it, I went onto Amazon or wherever the hell it was, and was trying to buy this thing, and then stopped because I realized that whatever version it was that I found was in 4x3. And I'm like, no, I'm not watching that. And so I waited, and I've waited this long to watch it because I didn't really look up anything about the movie, clearly, but I foolishly thought that that was a mistake and that I must be able to find a widescreen version somewhere in the world of purchasing movies, and have not found it.
According to the internet, you should be able to see it in widescreen on Netflix, where they crop everything, because the internet's been going crazy about that for the last few weeks.
Oh, really? It's on Netflix? I didn't even realize that. Wow.
I don't know. I don't know if it's on Netflix, but they've been going crazy about this whole recent discovery, which I don't think is really a discovery. It's just people haven't been saying it because Netflix is cheap and we're just kind of using it as a cable substitute for most people.
Mm-hmm.
That Netflix is cropping movies to be perfect 16x9, even if they're not.
That's not cool, though.
Yeah, people have been going on, but I mean, that's the equivalent of when you saw HBO was cropping things 10 years ago.
I just paid $1,200 to watch Carrie crop and destroy Pacific Rim. It looked like shit when I was in there.
Not that I want to deviate any further, but how did they crop Pacific Rim? Was it 4x3?
It was almost 4x3.
Holy shit.
It wasn't 4x3, but as close as you can get without.
It some, felt like a really fat 16x9.
Yeah, it clearly wasn't how that movie was supposed to look. But yeah, you were saying that you like the look of this movie. Ignore Carib.
Can we have a no campaign for Carib?
I'm going to have another no campaign.
So Douglas, when we watched Close Up a few weeks back, did you go crazy to see 4x3 in a movie that came out after 1950?
No, it just kind of added to my, I wouldn't say dislike is a strong word, but my not caring about that movie.
A quick tangent. Hope filmmakers realize that the longer this goes on, the longer life goes on, it is the more that people won't just accept that movies are sub. There are people who are alive now that have never seen anything in 4x3. And I hope they realize that they won't be able to. Like, you'll be able to tell who the old ass people are when you see a movie in 4x3 and people enjoying it, because there'll be people just go, why in God's name does this movie look like this? Why aren't they using all of the movie? So, yeah, this, like, they have a very narrow window. They have about 15 years that they'll be able to get away with this. And then, no matter what time period you're setting the movie in, you're going to have to shoot it properly. No one will want to hear it.
But I don't think that's at all true, because, I mean, we still have movies today where people are shooting in black and white. And that is the equivalent of people being, of old bastards being like, I'm all right with this.
You can explain why black and white is stylistic to people who never grew up with movies in black and white. Like, I didn't grow up with movies in black and white, but I understand. It will be harder for you to explain to somebody. There's a time when TVs were this weird box, and he's just doing it kind of to show you. But this movie came out now, so why are they doing that? Just shoot it properly so that I can enjoy it properly. And then they tell whatever old-timey story they want to tell. I even think about that now. I think they should stop. Like, no. If we'd know. Would no have been any different if it was in the proper aspect ratio? Mm-mm. I don't think so.
Well, it's kind of obvious that for this movie, it was more than just we can't afford the ends of the film. It was actually a stylistic choice based on the material they were showing. In advertising.
I don't think anything would have been lost if they put it in the proper aspect ratio. Do you think that you'd have not gained an appreciation for the time period if it was in, 69? No, I don't think so.
I somewhat agree with you, but at the same time, I feel it's more effective to have it in 4x3. So yes, it would have been just as you would have gotten just as much of the point watching the movie, regardless if it was 16x9. But something about having the movie in 4x3, and especially as you say today, where people are all shooting in widescreen, is that it kind of hammers home that point of the time period that we're in. It's just like how we talk about the movie looks like it came off tape. Why didn't they make it look like a real movie where all the colors look like real proper colors today and just have the ads look shitty because it's old?
I would have minded that.
No, that would have been... that would have been too normal to make it sound horrible. For all of these things coming together at one desired point in this movie, it kind of makes everything work better, as far as I'm concerned.
I think I should petition to get Minx cut off in the proper aspect ratio. Okay, hey guys, can you just give me that properly, please? Like, please? Oh, thanks.
Andrea Arnold is another person who all her films so far have all been in 4x3.
And he should stop. We get it, it's cute, but I don't want to see it anymore. My TV can do more than this.
Anyways, I think I might have lost where I was talking about this movie. And I'm just going to hand it over to Damien.
We're talking about the look of the movie. all right. I'm going to start with all the positive first before bashing this movie, as Douglas has told everyone already. Positives are the movie looks fantastic. I understand the stylistic choice that they made. And fine. I can appreciate that. The acting is pretty good, and that's pretty that's like it. I disagree. Like, this movie fundamentally is not a movie for me. I'm glad that you two, I was half expecting to come in here and have all of us agree that this movie is terrible, but I'm kind of glad that Andrew loves it. You are somewhere in the middle because you're not sure if you love it for the right reasons. And I'm all the way on the other side. This movie is uninteresting as shit. Like, guys, the last part of a revolution that I want to hear about is the people who ran the goddamn ads. This movie felt... It felt like monotonous in points. It felt... Like, the movie just felt... It felt like propaganda. Like, it felt like someone made this in order to... It felt like the advertisers of this movie heard that they were making a movie about advertisers and said, sure, we're all in. Let's do this. And the movie, it felt hollow. I'm just watching the movie, I'm like, all right, so let me understand. You guys have... a dictator that is hated by all, as most dictators are. At the start, they show you the clip, he's disappearing people, he's murdered all sorts of people, the army are overbearing and they're, beating people and whatever. He's not a good guy. Fine. But then they just touch on it there, and then the rest of the movie, you're spent just seeing people make commercials. And in the background, they're like, hey, this commercial is what, did everything. It is the trigger that over, right? And it felt like, yeah, I know you guys are saying that. But based on the 2 minutes of information that I got about this guy, and the fact that the only reason this referendum is in place is because the rest of the countries overseas are essentially bearing down on this guy and saying, look, you have to do something about how you're running the country. And he's like, all right, fine. We'll put it to referendum. The referendum, I think if he had more sense, he'd have been more clever and stayed in power. If all you have to do is disagree with him to put no, not vote for another person, you either agree with me or you disagree. Not, you have to pick one of these other people and they have to win the majority. No, it's simply you agree with me or you don't. So no. And they made the ad and I'm like, I'm pretty sure given the opportunity, a lot of these people, like, and even trying to explain away why they needed the ad, they're like, most of the people just simply wouldn't vote. It's not that, you know, they're going to vote for him and we have to change minds. What I have to do is convince people who are too afraid to vote to come out and vote. And this ad where people are singing and dancing and people's foot are in the truck going no and windshield wipers and all sorts of shit. I go, all right, fine, this is clever. There's, you know, I kind of, again, I appreciation for what they did. But that is not what I want out of a movie about revolutions. I just don't think, I understand they think that they did it. Like the ad has triggered everything. But I'm fairly certain at the point where they said, hey guys, we need a referendum, I'm pretty sure that is what triggered all of this. And, you know, it's cool to see this, but the whole time I'm just sitting there watching, I'm like, at least throw me a bone. Just show me, you know, the people, you know, pushing back. And when the movie ended, like the final shot of the movie, I just went, all right, so you guys didn't even, you know, you're not even going to try. The end of the movie is him working on a different ad campaign with women on, there's this shot where they're like on a roof and there's a helicopter landing and there's 5 cute guys and 10 lovely ladies and they're talking about some soap opera nonsense. I'm like, well, I guess the revolution happened and now the movie's done. So, sure.
And was the revolution televised?
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Don't they usually say that it is not televised?
Well, Common said that, but Common said a lot of things.
No, yeah. That's a quote, dude, from like...
I know. Okay. Right, this is a further step in the joke.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
All right.
Thank you. Right. Thank you.
I'm sorry for breaking...
What is it? Right. Oh, come on.
So
the revolution will not be televised. The revolution is here. And you know, I love that song.
Yeah, that song is amazing.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Where's that? Come on. Can I get him back? Instead of this movie, I'll go listen to this for 2 hours. And not watch this movie again.
But, I mean, when I'm thinking about some of these advertisements, I think there was this one point which kind of caught me. And it kind of melded what you'd consider to be the obvious advertising campaign pre-Gael Garcia Bernal coming in, which you see with all of the horrible shit that's happening, and a little bit of the positive spin that Gael put on all of these ads, because that was what sold me on all of these things. The fact that he was selling positive imagery is there's this one clip that he put in of a police officer, I'm assuming, beating on a protester of some kind. And it was kind of slowed down and sped up and slowed down and sped up, and every time they would slow down to a motion of like the policeman throwing down his baton at the guy, and they would have like this circle come in, focus on a point at the guy and at the policeman and then the protester, and then you'd have the voiceover coming in and says, neither of these people want to be doing this. Both of these people actually want peace. The only problem is that they've decided that they are of opposing viewpoints of how they should get there. And while that is probably a really simple idea and easily understood by many, I felt like that was just a really wonderful way to express it. And the fact that this movie did that repeatedly for me is what got me with this movie. And when it was all over and said and done, Damien, you mentioned things like, oh, he just moves to another ad campaign, but something about it kind of made me feel like this movie would play really well watching it alongside Argo, because Argo is almost like that. I mean, it definitely has a lot more action, if you want to use that word, to it.
No, Andrew, please.
But there's something about when Argo is over and he just kind of moves on, that I think this one kind of plays very well with it in that same sense.
Can you not compare Argo, which is essentially a terrific heist movie, to this movie, which is a giant commercial?
Are you serious? Andrew, I think I speak for Damien when I say, Argo, fuck yourself.
Yeah. Argo, go fuck yourself. Andrew, don't.
No?
Don't. I understand that you like this movie. Fine. But let us not blow this thing out of proportion. I'm willing to accept that you like this movie. Right? And that is all well and good. But don't do this. Don't force me to attack you on this movie, Andrew. Alright, because I will. I'm trying not to, but I will attack you with this movie.
Where is the attacking Damien? I know he's there somewhere.
Alright, fine. If you want me to go full negative, I will. This movie is 2 hours long. There's no fucking way this movie is 2 hours long. The start of the commercial, when they shot the first commercial, that was done in under 50 minutes. The first setup and them shooting the commercial and them airing the commercial, which leaves 1 hour and 10 minutes of fucking nonsense. Nothing happened in that back half. In fact, if you skip from the point where they finished the ad to the end of the movie, you miss nothing. The ad won, the people voted, and there was a half second there where the lights went out and they thought they lost, and then the light came back and they won. No explanations, no nothing. Then the movie ends. So apparently they won in the revolution. You see him hugging his son and walking with people cheering, but that is all you get. You don't get any sense of if there's a actual revolution going on, because all of this movie is centered in this room where people are coming up with ads and deciding not to go after the presidential attack ads, because the president came back and he's like, all right, we're going to prove the inconsistency in the ad that they put out, and they put out some shitty ads and whatever. But the whole back half of that movie is point. It is useless. I didn't need any of that information, because in all fairness, it adds nothing to the movie. It's just another hour spent in this ugly looking movie that guys who have HD cameras know for a reason. Using Argo as an example. Argo was shot. You don't get to
stop. Stop saying what the guy on my left shoulder was shot
in this way, right? It would have been to the movie's detriment. Shooting the movie properly in high def wouldn't have made this movie any worse. It wouldn't. Because the ads would have still looked the same. People have done it for years. Having it shot on shitty film or having post-processing make it look like garbage is only enticing to us because we know what movies used to look like back in the bad old days. But I've spent thousands of dollars on equipment to ensure that doesn't happen anymore. And you making that as a stylistic choice and putting it out in 5.1 audio is kind of
Stop.
I'm not done yet. If you're going to decide I'm going to make this movie look like it came out of a time machine, you also need to make it sound like it came out of a time machine. That would have been fantastic sound design. They didn't do that. And then I'm forced to sit and watch people talk about advertising for an hour that I didn't need, so that at the end of the movie there'd be some payoff. Douglas Robinson, what was the payoff at the end of the movie? They won. We knew that at the start of this movie, that the No Ad campaign won. That is why this movie existed. So why what was the tension? What was the thing that they were doing? Douglas said there was a veiled attempt to say, oh, we're in danger. In Argo, there was real danger, real tension the entire time, and they still found ways to make Argo funny. This movie is unfunny. This movie is not tense. What this movie is long and boring and ugly to look at. Andrew Robinson, do you feel better now? You feel better now that I have torn the movie?
I feel dirty. I feel like I did so. I feel like I made a mistake.
You feel better.
But all right, all right. You talk about the visual style and how it's just there to be there and be silly and stupid. And how dare they not use the cameras that we have today? But curious to ask, how do you feel when you watch a film like Planet Terror, the Grindhouse movie from like what
you know
was it, 4 years ago?
Planet Terror and Grindhouse, they're both terrible movies. I told you this. In fact, you almost stopped talking to me when I told you both those movies suck dick. Yeah, no, these movies are fantastic.
Andrew, I actually forgot that. I thought it was really the Death Proof only that you were negative on.
I don't like
on.
Any of them. Both of them are terrible.
Oh, wow.
Andrew, I get it. I am not. Look, I understand them making the decision. All right, fine. I'm not saying that people shouldn't do it, right? But if we're going to point to negatives, I can use that as one. There are movies that are better than this movie, that shot the movie on modern technology and still put me in a time and place. You're the one that brought it up. You brought up Argo. I didn't feel like that movie wasn't set in the past because it was shot properly. It still lured me in. And all I'm saying is, if you're going to pretend that your movie came off cassette, then it needs to sound like it came off cassette. You don't get to pick one and not the other. But they did. They knew that if they put it in two channel and made it shitty, no one is going to say, oh, well, that is cute. No one wants to see that. They made the audio proper and they made the video look like this, which is fine. But if you're going to bore me to tears, I'm going to, you know, pinpoint things that I don't like and that I can nitpick. And there's a whole lot. There's a whole lot to nitpick in this movie. Like, there was a rival advertising guy that him and Cristiano Ronaldo was working together.
It is Cristiano not Cristiano
picked
Ronaldo.
He picked yes. And there was supposed to be some back and forth. You know, him doing one thing and Cristiano doing one thing. But that never came to being. They just had them. He just had a frowny face. And the whole of the army that ran these people's life for 16 years in an iron grip, they just allowed these people to run their ads in peace because there was oversight from outsiders. I'm like, this guy wasn't as evil as I thought, or you're trying to portray him for the 2 seconds that he did, making him a fantastic antagonist. Nothing like barely understanding why someone is evil to make you hate them. There's nothing like that. And I just watched this movie, I'm like, I know there's supposed to be a revolution. I know this is supposed to be helping. But I neither see a revolution, and I don't see how this is helping. Why am
Didn't
I watching
this
movie?
Didn't you see Gael's wife getting beat up all the while by the police?
Was she his wife?
Girlfriend wife.
Oh, okay. Girlfriend wife. Fine. I like the scene when they're
baby
like
mama.
Asking the housekeeper, why would you vote yes? And she's like, my son has a job. My daughter is in university. I'm all right. I'm like, okay. Is that it? Like, that is all? I know you've taken her views and you've come up with this grand ad. And then I saw the grand ad and I went, mm-mm. All right, guys. Sure. The movie wasn't compelling at all. It was without substance is what this movie was.
You're saying it was no substance?
Yeah. And it's not even like it was, you know, just sweet on the outside and empty on the inside, like Furious 6. No, it was just it was bitter and empty. That's what this movie was. 2 hours. 2 hours of nothing. Ah, this movie is bad. Yeah, this movie is bad. I don't like this movie.
So last week, probably a week before, because we did the really shitty Lone Ranger podcast last week.
Oh god.
Hi-ho, Silver!
Douglas, why did you? Stop it! Stop it! a couple weeks ago, with Douglas's favoritest movie of all time coming out, Grown Ups 2,
which made $0. Thank God that there's a God. There is a God somewhere that is smiling on all of us.
But it, so Damien, it made bombed. Enough that they're probably going to make another one.
No, that is not my problem. That's not my problem. I wasn't going to watch two anyways. So it doesn't make any
difference. The question I asked was about ridiculous sequels, and really in the vein of sequels that not so much are bad or are the worst sequels ever, but when you hear that there's going to be a number two of it, or you or someone tells you there's another one, your brain just goes crazy going, how the hell did they think that was a good idea? Right? And this can be for anything, you know? And the internet responded. Aaron Loyal. Aaron Loyal brought up The Hangover, which is a movie that I kind of felt is kind of insane that we have three of these movies. Like, it feels like one of those movies where it happened once and we're done, you know? I mean, we all loved Hangover Part 2. Am I the only one who's seen 3 at this point?
Yes, I think so.
Yes.
Oh, 3 is so bad, guys.
In hindsight, though, I think 2 was bad as well.
I wouldn't go as far as to say 2 was bad, but it definitely wasn't that
good.
Great.
Yeah, it wasn't as good.
I refuse to revisit it because I'm afraid I'll agree with that statement. And I shouldn't be afraid of that movie. I mean, I should be afraid of things like one day saying, I don't think I like Ghostbusters, but that would be just crazy. Louis Doolin brought up a film, Final Destination. How many Final Destinations did they end up making?
Like 12. In fact, there was a point where they just went, all right, this new one is the Final Destination. That's how many they made.
And then didn't they make another one after that on top of it? Like, people said, oh, this was going to be the one. Crazy. Jermaine Headley said Taken, because when they decide to take your wife and you instead in Part 2. It's aren't they writing Taken 3 now? Aren't they?
Of course they are. Of course. Guess who won't be watching that? Damien.
Yeah, you know that's not true.
How did they mess up Taken, though? That doesn't even... Like, on paper that made...
Because you've got an 80-year-old man trying to do stunts.
But you did that with the first one. All right, I'm sorry, he was 76. 60
at the time, yeah.
He was 76.
So Damien, other than Liam Neeson, who in that movie do you know by name that's in there for more than 2 minutes?
Famke Janssen is the wife. She's in there.
More than 2 minutes?
Yeah, she wasn't in there that long.
Okay, fair enough.
I think you mean the Phoenix. That's what we mean.
No. I mean the Russian lady from GoldenEye. Forever to me, she will be GoldenEye.
Good job. Good job. Russian woman in GoldenEye. Terrific.
Is it weird that for some reason I always think of Rounders? Isn't she the chicken Rounders?
Yes, she is. I remember that was the first time after GoldenEye that I saw her in like a big movie.
So Sean Hunter replied with the two franchises where, once again, I have no clue how they got this many movies, Underworld and Resident Evil.
Hey, Resident Evil makes a boatload of money, and Underworld is mildly entertaining. I've watched all of them. They're not terrible.
Really?
They're not terrible. Like, really? Douglas, I always going, Damn this man. Is going to be trash. And then I come out like, that's not bad. Oh. That's not bad. Oh. Except for the third one was...
Which one was the third one? Was it the one where they went back in time?
No.
Was it the one with Bill Nye and the lookalike? No, so after a point, what's her name again? Kate Beckinsale.
Right, Kate Beckinsale wasn't in the third one.
Do anymore.
So the third one is the one she wasn't in.
A Kate Beckinsale lookalike. What's her name? Vera Farmiga? No,
I don't know what her name is. She was terrible in the third one. And then they made a fourth one recently.
I think that one was the Kate Beckinsale is back in there again.
She Vin Diesel'd the franchise.
Yeah, she Vin Diesel'd it. Yeah. And I watched it and I went, this is dumb. It's not that bad. Douglas, every time I see the trailers, I go, this is going to be like I watched Resident Evil and went, this is the worst thing that has ever happened. And every time I watch the Underworld movies, I go, this should be the worst thing that has ever happened. And that was true in 3. But not with the rest. The rest of them were like, oh, this is...
Didn't they have like a magic eye in the third movie?
I don't remember. I tried not.
Yes, she had like a fake eye that you could pull out of her socket. She could throw it around a corner and she could see where all her enemies were.
I don't know.
She had a magic eye, Damien.
I tried not to remember any of these. But I do remember. Well, the first two was pretty good and that last one wasn't terrible.
Wow.
It wasn't. They're not terrible. That's they shouldn't have made. Don't get me wrong, Douglas. They shouldn't have made any of them. My life would have been better off if I've never seen any of those movies. So yeah, I guess if you made them cheap enough, and dumb people like myself watch them, you can keep making them.
Yeah.
Resident Evil keeps making money though, like and a lot of it.
What, like keeps making money?
Resident Evil.
Oh, didn't they make one last year? Didn't one come out last year?
Extinction Part 2 Underworld or something.
I keep thinking that they've gotten to the point with those movies where they literally just call her up to do the movie and she just shows up in front of a green screen. Right. And that's it. They just do everything else. Right.
Those two backflips that they got. Alright. We're putting this out now.
We know that Mike Epps is a part of that franchise now, right?
Shanti was a part of the franchise.
Oh, wow. No, but when I say a part of the franchise, I don't mean he was in one movie. He's in, like, multiple.
Douglas Ashanti. Ashanti survived more than one movie. I heard. I've not seen any of them since one. So I don't know. I can't verify any of this.
I've seen bits of pieces of one of them that has Mike Epps.
Not even as a joke.
And I've seen the first one because when that came out, the video game was still fairly relevant. You know, that was 01. So, yeah.
I don't like those video games and I don't like those movies. So, yeah. Any more answers, Andrew?
Yeah, a few. So leaving some of the most interesting answers to Leon. At Baseman under PhD, brought up The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, or it was until they announced the third one.
Whoa.
Some people out there really hate The Hobbit movie. I don't know why.
Just step off.
So Doug Tilly from the Above the Line podcast, he brought up the films such as the American Psycho sequel that came out, as well as Raging Bull 2, aka The Bronx Bull, comes pretty close. But I think he kind of figures it out with the film that we've already kind of mentioned so far, which is The Fast and the Furious. Because while we really love 5 and 6 at this point, and I have a great affinity for Tokyo Drift, when they announced Fast and Furious, Too Fast, Too Furious.
Too Fast, Too Furious.
When that movie came out, it was pretty much the ending point right there.
What the fuck is going on? What kind of world is this? How, like, the great thing about Furious 6 is the fact that they got to 6. There's no way they should have gotten to this point. I don't understand how they made it past. I don't understand how they made it past 1. I don't understand. What was it? Paul Walker's acting? I don't know. So bad.
Oh, man. It was Tyrese's smile. That's what did it.
You said two movies before that. Raging Bull 2, which I don't believe exists.
It is an actual movie. You're lying. I've never seen it, but it is an actual movie.
And what was the other one? You said some other movie.
There's a sequel to American Psycho.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is. There's an American Psycho 2 with Mila Kunis.
No. Mm-mm. I don't believe you. It's like the people who come to me and say, Damien, you know there's a Lion King 2. No, there's not. It doesn't exist.
Even better than that, do you know that there's a Lion King 2.5?
Yes. No, it's 1.5, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, it's 1.5? Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I know that there's a Lion King.
Exactly. And that's by the way, this is a question for you, Andrew. Is the Bronx, not the Bronx Tale, the Bronx Bull mm-hmm. as bad as the Raging Bull?
So moving
Douglas.
On.
Douglas.
Moving on.
Because
Damon, I don't want to talk about horrendous. This movie with
Douglas.
You know,
that movie is horrendous.
We don't have to do this, Douglas. I don't want to have to fight.
Let's get this straight, internet. The Raging Bull is one of the greatest films ever made.
You know what else is awesome? Taxi Driver. Oh, wait, no, it's not.
Is it that, like, before a certain time, you just didn't have sense?
I remember when I made Douglas watch Raging Bull, I could see the rage building up in him.
I couldn't argue with you. I'd probably agree.
Like, there was a point where you clearly had no sense. And then you turned, like, 21 and you went, "All right, movies are good now."
So two more responses. One from Ryan McNeil, because this was just too good. He mentioned Blair Witch 2, because at the time there was a girl who bugged him endlessly to take her. When the movie ended, he turned to her and said that she owed him $20.
Yeah, do you feel better now? Now that we've done this, do you feel better now? No, I don't feel any better. This movie is horrendous.
I actually find it really difficult to remember what Blair Witch was like. I believe I watched it at the time, but I haven't seen it since. And I'm trying to remember whether I actually liked it at the time or not.
Well, you guys know my stance on horror movies, so. I didn't like Blair Witch. I didn't. Guys, I remember when do you guys remember when The Ring came out?
Oh,
and
yes.
I never liked that movie at all.
It was the scariest shit to have ever. And I watched for an hour and a half. And when the movie was done, I turned and looked at my family and went, "I'm never listening to people again."
Did you see this video that was up on YouTube like 3-4 weeks ago that people were going crazy about, where this guy pulled this prank on like his girlfriend or something, where he built this puppet which he attached to his television, which was the Ring puppet, the shape of the girl from The Ring, turned off all the lights like she was sleeping, put a thing on it and had like strings to move it and created all these noise, and the girl just flipped out, and it was kind of funny.
there's things I want to say, but it's just going to come off racist, so I'm not going to say any of them.
So the final response, and I think the one of my favorite response, because it kind of gets what I meant with the question most, from Kyle Turner, who brings up Before Sunset, because who ever thought Before Sunrise would get a sequel?
Yeah, that movie made what, half of $2? Movie didn't make any money.
On top of which, when you're done with that movie, you're just like, when you're done with that movie, you're like, you don't ask yourself, "I wonder what happened to them. Did they actually get to?" You let that sit with you, and you let it just move.
Yeah, and then 100 years later, they make another sequel, and you go, "All right, so they're 2 for 2. These two movies are terrific. My life is now complete." And then just last year, they said, "We're doing one more." And you go, "Hey guys." Like, they have all the goodwill in the world. It's not like there's going to be a point where we go, "All right, you guys have made 2 phenomenal movies. Don't make any more."
By the way,
what if they fuck up this movie?
Oh, screw you.
Yes.
But also, is it crazy that I would like them? Because this is a thing, right? Every 10 years a movie comes out. I would like them to do one movie every 10 years until both of them die.
But what if they get one wrong?
They can't.
Fair enough. I like that logic. That won't happen.
Just keep going until Jesse and Celine are like 90 years old.
All right, until it turns into Amore. Boring.
Oh, was that a bad movie?
No, it is really good.
Oh, okay.
If you want to hang yourself.
All right, fair enough.
You're going very to much hang. So.
Because you I wanted going to watch that movie, so I guess I shouldn't.
Everything in the world when you finish with that movie. The movie's depressing.
It was kind of funny, like last year with all of the Oscars going on, I was talking to my parents, and generally that's the number one time when they get interesting in all of these movies. They're like, "That movie got nominated for Best Picture, I should watch that one." And they bring up to me, "I really want to watch Amore because it reminds me of all of these things with me." I'm like, "No, Daddy, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that related with you."
Please, don't watch this. Too sad. Old people are already sad. Shouldn't be this sad.
So,
if I had tears, I would have cried during that movie, but I don't.
So do you guys have any answers to this question that you'd bring up at this point that haven't been mentioned?
No, you know what I know now? The Matrix?
The Sandlot Part 2.
There is no Sandlot. Don't say
yes,
that.
There is.
No, Douglas.
Yes, there is. And it stars Randy Quaid.
Douglas. No. Douglas, you're... Well, I won't ever see them. This is technically not a sequel, but Old Boy, the American version. Did you see that trailer?
I still haven't seen it.
I actually like the trailer. Like the only thing which I kind of note, and people have told me that it could just be deception in the trailer, is that it looks like it's very clear that they're trying to stay away from one kind plot point in that movie.
I wonder why.
And it would make sense for American audiences that they don't want to put that in there. Because it's just bit too fucked up.
Really?
They have to, or that movie falls
just,
apart.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense without it.
Douglas, there's a part in the trailer where they're trying to show you the hammer scene. Uh-huh. And, you guys won't get that right. I know you guys.
Well, Spike Lee knows how to make a pretty movie. He can do that.
But I don't think... I think only people from that side of the world understand.
I think what it is, right, is when you're born at a certain age, let's say it's 5 or 10, there is a ritual in Korea. And that ritual is, I'm going to do the worst thing
that I can think of to you.
And you are going to spend the rest of your life trying to think of ways to get back at me. And then that just translates into their art. That's
terrific movies. Is what it translates into. Just beautiful
because
movies.
Because I have never seen a revenge movie.
No one does it
like a Korean revenge movie.
No one does it. Every time I watch one, I went, "Oh!" Like, I have thought of bad things to do to people. I've never gotten to this point.
And we're happy,
although
Damien. We know you're crazy, but you know, we're happy you never went Old Boy crazy.
The dudes writing Hannibal, they clearly must be Korean. There's at least one Korean on staff.
And remember, Damien, it's the same guy who ran Pushing Daisies.
I need to go back and watch Pushing Daisies. I saw like a couple episodes.
I love that show.
Wasn't impressed.
That show is so good.
I thought we were all on the Pushing Daisies bandwagon. Are you not, Damien?
I didn't watch enough of it. Yeah, I didn't watch enough of it.
So, the question I want to ask at this point, kind of keeping in the idea with sequels as we're still in the middle of the summer, mainly because of my response to Pacific Rim, which I adored so much. And at the same time, I got this feeling, based on the numbers and based on a lot of the responses that I'm seeing online, that it may get to the point where people might not want to make a part two of Pacific Rim, but I am so begging for it to happen. I'm curious as to what movies out there you wanted there to be a sequel to but never actually happened. I mean, I could say Speed Racer, because I really love that movie, but I don't think I'd want a part two, really, because I don't want it to be dragged out. I'm happy I got one, I'm happy it was like that, and I'm happy. But Pacific Rim, I want a part two so bad. I want it to go full Gundam.
Douglas.
Hello?
Douglas is thinking.
Okay, I guess it's my turn to answer the question. I don't know, it's hard for me to answer that just off the top of my head. The first thing that came to mind, though, was the Golden Compass. But that's not even... I wouldn't even say that I've been dying for that movie. I liked the first one and wouldn't have minded a second one.
The fact that there is no 7 Fast and Furious movies and no Torque sequel is a travesty. Because Fat Furious 6 has finally gotten to the point where Torque 1 got to. Can you imagine what a Torque 2 would do? It would be beautiful. I want Torque 2. Can I kickstart that or Indiegogo Torque 2? How much money do they need to make madness happen on our screen?
Mm-hmm. We can call up Joseph Kahn and ask him how much he needs for Torque 2. All we need to do is make sure Adam Scott is available.
I don't know. There's not a lot of movies. Because they're so quick to pull the trigger on sequels. that the only movies that you're not getting sequels to is where the guys who, you know, made the movie have decided it's never going to happen. Like Inception. We're never going to see an Inception 2. That's done.
You know what would have been a great sequel? Boba Hotep Part 2. Andrew, back me up on this. That would have been awesome, wouldn't it?
I don't think so, you know? I mean, I think it would only be awesome in your mind. Like, you know, like, Boba Hotep was fun, and I really enjoyed that movie, but I think if we ever ended up doing something to that, like with the Fast and the Furious franchise we got, I don't think it would turn out to have as good return, added return as we move forward. I think it would only diminish.
I want the Incredible Hulk 2.
The Edward Norton Incredible Hulk.
However,
wait.
Huh? Because you started off saying the right thing, but you ended with something incomplete.
Did you watch that one?
No. What you should have said was you want the Incredibles Part 2.
That has to happen. There's no war. Pixar is doing sequels now, so that has to happen. At some point, they're just going to go, all right, that. No,
but you see, herein lies the difference, right? For all of the sequels they've been doing, they've gotten, like, for example, Finding Nemo 2 is happening soon, and they've gotten back Andrew Stanton after he didn't work out as a live-action director. But with... why am I blanking on his name? The guy who did The Incredibles and Ratatouille. He went on to do...
about Brad Bird.
Brad Bird. Ghost Protocol, which turned out to be, like, the greatest live-action movie of the year, of that year. He's... looks to have quite a career moving into live action, so maybe he might not want
he
to
saw
move
a
back
different
into
Mission Impossible than me. He did.
No, well, while
Ghost
I
Protocol
agree with
good.
Andrew that I loved Ghost Protocol, however, it's a tall order to call it the greatest live action movie.
That is the epitome of hyperbole, is what that is.
Of that year. I capped it off. I left it there. But anyways, this kind of pulls me into a discussion I kind of wanted to have with you guys. This past week, over on vulture.com, the writer Matt Zarler Seitz posted up a list of the top 25 best action movies since Die Hard, since it's the 25th year anniversary of the original Die Hard film coming out. And while a lot of the films on his list are fantastic and amazing, and I tend not to like to nitpick people's orders in lists, I'm going to break that rule and do that now.
He just pulled out with all due respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All due respect. Your list sucks. And you are wrong.
I'm going to go straight to his number one and two, because he's decided to put number two... one of my favorite action movies of all time, Hard Boiled.
this list is already garbage. I'm already calling complete BS on this list. Hard Boiled might not even make it into my top 20. People talking
about then, it. But then he puts at his number one Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight. And I'm kind of curious because...
What?
Hold on. I'm kind of curious because while The Dark Knight is a fantastic movie that we all love, I don't feel that it falls into the vein of action movies in the same way that a film like Die Hard does. Right?
I think he's high and drunk as well.
And I'm curious to ask you guys about this.
Where did
about
the Matrix
this...
fall on this list? Quick question. Where is The Matrix on his list? Because if it is not on this list, I won't even entertain this argument.
I am scrolling through because The Matrix is number 8.
Or at least, alright, so I can at least entertain this conversation. He's wrong, but I'll entertain him.
And just to give you a couple more cues as to what he puts in the list, because I really just want to focus on those two, but since you guys are kind of looking out there, he has at number 5, Terminator 2 Judgment Day, which is great. Number 4, Kill Bill Volume 1. And 3, Minority Report. Then following into the 2
right,
and 1.
No.
Wait, sorry. Maybe I didn't hear that right. Where was Minority Report?
Did you say 3?
Yes.
Why is this? Because Tom Cruise single-handedly created a new technology that is now possible? Is that why?
Action.
I don't understand.
Does he understand what the word action means?
You do realize that Minority Report isn't even the best Tom Cruise action movie, right?
What is he talking about? No, I'm just confused. I don't think he understands what the word action means. I think he's confused.
Oh, wow. So hold on. Before we get any further, like, Damien, what is your beef with Hard Boiled?
No, I'm not. Andrew, Damien White loves Hard Boiled.
Okay, alright,
hey,
alright. Because
I got the feeling that you
had something bad to say about John Woo's Hard Boiled.
Guys, if there's a person that loves John Woo more than Damien, I'd like to meet him. Because I still think the best Mission Impossible is the one he did. So let us not. Douglas, don't plug up my mic.
I just turned down Damon's microphone. He has been kicked off the podcast. He no longer works here. Look, Damien, you may leave.
No.
You may leave, sir.
Amount of action
in Mission Impossible movies, the John Woo one had the most amount of action. It may not have been the best Mission Impossible movie. Sure, but in terms of action, which is what we're talking about, it had the most, and it had the most John Woo action. Guys, there was doves. He ran forward and did a backflip kick, and doves flew, and there was a fight on a bike. It was awesome. Hey guys, it was awesome. So it's
all right. I'm just happy to hear that you're not against Hard Boiled, because I got that feeling for some reason.
And that
would have caused issues here.
No. Chow Yun-fat.
Why would you talk about Mission Impossible 3 when you're talking about John Woo? When you have such fine pieces of art like Face Off.
No, what I was saying, Douglas.
No. I don't want to hear it.
I
don't even want you to say it again.
Fine. There's Face Off. Face Off. Right? Whoever wrote this list is Minority Report. In no world does Minority Report makes the top anything of any action list.
I'm
no
not even
how
sure
big the number is.
I'm not
Douglas.
Even sure that I like that movie a lot. I think I like the movie,
Douglas,
but
if you're making a list of top action movies, and the number in the list is all the action movies that have ever been made, it still doesn't make that list.
So, guys, I'm coming back to this list and discussing the fact that he decided to put The Dark Knight as his number one. Before we get to just randomly asking you guys, what would be your number one, like, as if I could put you on the spot like that? I just wanted to read this little section that he has from his writing on The Dark Knight in this list. And he says, and I quote, "When it comes to action, Nolan, not unlike Wu, is more a Peckinpah than a Spielberg. He never does slow motion, but his action scenes are less about clarity and space than they are about movement and rhythm. The truck chase in Dark Knight is spectacular, breathtaking, even if we don't always know what's going on." Now, I mean, it's crazy for us to talk about action the way we do, because we have a weird affinity to action movies where we're willing to put up with a lot of bad movie tendencies for the sake of a good action movie. And it might be why we kind of hawk and laugh at this list, which is why there's something strange to me about putting Hard Boiled beneath The Dark Knight, where The Dark Knight is a fantastic, great, genuine movie that happens to have a little bit of action here and there, but it never quite feels like an out-and-out action movie, while Hard Boiled, it feels like a ridiculous out-and-out action movie, which I adore, because it seems to me like with what John Woo did there is that he thought of an action movie and added in what little story he needed to make sure that someone out there thought it would sell. But just coming off of those few lines that Matt Zoller-Seitz had to say about The Dark Knight, do you guys even are curious to wonder why someone would put The Dark Knight as their number one action movie of the last 25 years?
If we're using that kind of...
He probably... No, let me tell you what he did. he probably put The Dark Knight as number one over Hard Boiled because he didn't want to have an argument a year later.
About it. Well done, Douglas.
Well done. See, here I am trying to be sensible, and then that comes in. Are you happy, Douglas?
Of course.
I'm extremely happy.
He's aglow. That is how happy.
I can barely talk.
Douglas, I don't think he's ever been more happy. Andrew, if I'm using his, if you're like, if it was goodness of the movie that happened to have action, Lord of the Rings wins. It wins. Return of the King. In fact, the first trilogy. There's a reason those movies won everything, because you've never seen anything like it. The story was fantastic, and even some of the action in those movies were spectacular. So that wins. We all love Chris Nolan, but that would beat Dark Knight. But you can't do that because the list is about action. So that is the focus. The focus is the action. And if you're going to put Hard Boiled in there, then you, some part of you understands that the focus is on the action. Because if we're going to look at Hard Boiled as a story, then you can't put it on any list because there's no story. Not in the Hard Boiled I saw. There was a little girl, there were some birds, and 9 million guns. I still don't know what that movie's about, but
a
I watched
baby and a shotgun.
A billion times. So
sometimes I wonder how much more impressive that movie would be to me if John Woo actually succeeded in making a 20-minute long single take that he wanted to do.
I don't know. Why would you even think about that? I don't understand. Would the movie have been... Andrew, do you remember Hard Boiled properly?
Yes, I do. But no, you remember there's when they finally get into the hospital towards the end, there's this like 5 minute single take that they do with John Woo, right. Not John Woo, with Chow Yun Fat and the other guy. I can't remember his name right now. And apparently, like, that scene was supposed to be like twice as long, but they could never quite get it. And it's still impressive as it is. But I'm wondering how much more impressed I would be if it was like 15 minutes long and they made that long take that he wanted.
I think I'd have liked it as much. I don't know, I don't think. Look. Alright. Number one on the list for me is The Matrix. Hey guys, have you seen The Goddamn Matrix?
No.
Have you seen Matrix?
Listen here. While I agree, The Matrix was revolutionary. It was amazing. It might be number two. But listen, you said something before and you need to stand by it. Because mm-hmm. when we're talking about action mm-hmm. movies, we're talking about things like the epitome of hyperbole.
Yes.
Okay? So the number one, the best action movie that has ever been made is Shoot 'Em Up.
Equilibrium is better than Shoot 'Em Up.
No, it's not.
No,
no,
you can't
not.
Tell me that no,
no, no.
movie.
Equilibrium.
Gun-tata.
Equilibrium. Hold on.
Gun-tata.
Equilibrium is a better movie.
No.
Equilibrium is a better
raw.
Movie.
I'm talking about amount of action.
Shoot 'Em Up. Listen.
I think
there is
be
no point in Shoot 'Em Up.
Shoot 'Em Up on the
there is
the
no
discussion
point in
of being
where
a better
there is
movie.
No action.
There's a scene where.
Wait. Hold on. Stop. Andrew, can you repeat that? What did you just say a while ago?
I think I'm willing to be on the side of Shoot 'Em Up in the discussion of being a better movie here. Because Equilibrium...
A better movie or a better action movie?
A better movie. Because Equilibrium is a dumb action movie. Shoot 'Em Up consciously decides to be a stupid action movie.
I'm pretty sure the people who made Equilibrium knew the movie they were making. Which is why they had him chop Taye Diggs' face off in the end. Fairly certain they knew what they were doing. Guys, I don't know. Like, let me tell you how good The Matrix was. People started talking about that story as if it made sense. That is how good the goddamn Matrix is. That story is dumb. It is some of the worst storytelling in history. But The Matrix made up for it with its matrixness. All right, let me because you guys aren't, I don't think you guys are remembering just how awesome the Matrix is. I mean, like, you guys are talking as if, you know, like you're saying Matrix is too, Douglas, if you fall backwards and raise your arms, people say you're doing the Matrix. Do you understand? There's no the shoot 'em up move. There is a the Matrix move. That's so good. The Matrix is, alright? Alright? If you move quickly,
hey,
out
if
of
I
the
break
way
my
of
hands and have
you,
a carrot,
you're doing
I'm doing
the
shoot 'em up move.
No, you're not. Alright? Alright? A fly is coming at you and you move slightly out of the way. You just Matrix that fly. It is a verb, right? You can Matrix things. That's a good division. The Matrix is rooted at now. I won't even entertain anything that Matrix is. Matrix is one. He dodged bullets. And there's a scene where they walk into a building for no reason. There are a million guards. And there's a 15-minute long shootout. And there is dust and shit flying. And Keanu Reeves. And then there's an elevator and it blows up. And then gunshots on a helicopter, and on. And it is the best. It is number one. The Matrix is true. Oh, God.
I think if I had to name off the top of my head right now, I think I would be the asshole who just says Hard Boiled. Because, guys, I really, truly love Hard Boiled. When I found that movie and saw it for the first time, I think I watched it around 6 times in a row that weekend. The movie's great.
There are kung fu movies that I like better than Hard Boiled because of the amount of kung fu. They don't make any sense. And there's things in them that are the opposite of sense. But there's just so much kung fu.
just to throw it out there, mainly because I rewatched it recently and it kind of worked even better for me. Now that you mentioned kung fu movies and talking about action, I kind of want to throw my hat in for last year's The Raid Redemption.
Yeah.
That action movie is amazing. Like,
yeah.
I thought there was something kind of holding it back for me when I first saw it last year.
Hold up for a second. You described Dread. You got me to watch Dread by pitching it as The Raid Redemption with Judge. That is how you pitched that movie to me. So how is it now you're coming around to The Raid Redemption?
No. I love The Raid Redemption a lot last year, but I kind of taper that love with I think I'm focusing too much on the kung fu, and there might be something that's missing there. And I rewatched it recently, and I'm like, what idiot was saying that last year? I don't know who that asshole was, but this movie is the greatest action movie from last year. And I can't wait to see Raid 2, which is being made now.
Remember when Hero came out? The Jet Li's Hero? And I sat and was trying to explain to Andrew why Hero was phenomenal. Right? It's because they barely told a story. And that movie, from the word go, was all kung fu. And Andrew was trying to, you know, explain why, you know, it wasn't as good as whatever. But that movie, someone sat down and said, what if we just have kung fu on the screen at all times? And someone went, yeah, just come up with the scenes and we'll do that. And at the end of the movie, people are looking at me like it wasn't amazing. I'm like, guys, did you see all of what just took place? Andrew, do you remember Hero?
Barely.
Oh God!
I remember. I remember the end with all the arrows.
I don't want to hear it.
I should rewatch Hero. I haven't seen that in forever.
You've rewatched Crouching Tiger, haven't you?
Huh?
Have you rewatched Crouching Tiger?
I haven't. I should.
You guys are just bad. You're bad people. I keep forgetting. All right, you guys dub me the action guy because you're terrible people. You don't watch action movies. You guys don't understand.
Hey.
You don't.
Hey.
Hey, Damien.
I watch Channing Tatum.
Wanna fight?
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, yeah. And then you'd end up like Ryan Gosling in that movie.
Anyways, guys, I think we should just end it off here. That's been the Monday Movie Podcast. So, as always, remember that you can listen to the podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, on the website at G-Man Reviews. Douglas, he's at DJR Lost His Name on Twitter. Damien is at Damien_White, and I'm at G-Man Reviews. I don't know if there's anything else I should mention. Yeah, so thanks for listening, and I guess good night.
I think I'm going to do my own 25 list for Andrew to put up on his website so that people know what real action movies are. I think you guys are sadly mistaken about what is taking place.
Sadly.
This fool beside me is trying to argue that The Matrix isn't the best. Are you high and drunk? They got to make two more of those movies based on the goodness of the person.